Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Great to be here, guys.
Hey, okay, we're happy to have you.
Is anything happening today in the news? I haven't really been paying attention.
A little old thing called the former director of the FBI testifying.
Sorry,
it
doesn't ring a bell.
James Comey?
Really?
Name ring a bell?
Wow. You turn on the TV last night, any cable channel, it's all about Comey.
Oh,
yesterday, wall-to-wall coverage.
The testimony, too. Every channel. Not his, obviously, but the four preceding him.
So his prepared statement is 7 pages.
I read that. Mm-hmm.
How long will that take for him to get through?
7 minutes. No. It'll take a while. It'll take a while.
Are we talking 35 minutes? Because we go live at 9 a.m.
Yes. They start at 9. We'll do it as a big story at 9:30 as well, too.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll be covering a little bit of it. You want to hear the entire testimony all throughout the day, WGNRadio.com. We'll be streaming it, too.
Is it going to last all day long until 5?
Oh, I think it'll last a long time.
Okay.
I don't know if till 5, but it'll last a few hours.
I mean,
we
heard about the prepared statement yesterday. It's the questions afterwards that we're going to be watching today.
Right. And we also now are getting, I don't know if you've seen this, it's almost like a flow chart. Like all of the people who'll be questioning him, you know, Senator Feinstein, everybody who'll be on that panel, the first round and then the second round. So there's little pictures with their heads, you know, kind of on the flow chart so you know where everyone's sitting.
Right.
And now we're getting prepared, the opening remarks. We have Vice Chairman Warner's opening remarks too, and those are only about a page, so that should take a few minutes. And then I don't know, I would say Comey would be a half an hour opening statement.
I think the questions won't start until 10 o'clock our time.
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah.
All right.
That's probably safe to say.
Coming up, we'll talk to Chuck Todd about this. Coming up at 8:30, or I'm sorry, at 6:37. Time for the 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Time for the top 6 at 6. At number one, we talked about it, fired FBI Director James Comey testifying today. He released his opening statement yesterday. He said he was not personally, he told President Donald Trump that he was not personally under investigation, but said the president pressured him to drop the FBI investigation into National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
Right.
Which we basically knew, but we wanted to see it in writing.
And today we're going to actually get to hear it.
Got it. The intel hearings yesterday, did we find anything out? Admiral Michael Rogers, Daniel Coates, each said they never felt pressure to do anything inappropriate, but they refused to confirm or deny allegations that President Trump asked them to state publicly that they saw no evidence of Trump campaign collusion with Russia.
Right. More damning, less damning? I don't know. I think that'll be subjective. Also, in Comey's opening statement, too, we're going to hear that Trump said to him, I need loyalty, I expect loyalty.
Was yesterday a waste of time?
I don't think so. I think it's kind of laying the groundwork for what we're going to hear. And I think it's a lot of reaffirmation, too.
NBC kept saying yesterday it's the pregame before the big game today.
Yeah.
Chuck Todd said that last night, I think, with Lester.
It's like the tailgating.
At number three, President Donald Trump announced yesterday he plans to nominate Christopher A. Wray to the next FBI director. How did he do it?
Twitter.
On Twitter. No Rose Garden announcement. He announced it yesterday on Twitter.
Yeah, and Wray, you know what? Wray seems like a great choice. He does have great creds. The only, I guess, wrinkle in Wray would be that he was Chris Christie's attorney for Bridgegate.
Right. Okay.
And some might not even see that as a wrinkle.
Bulls head coach Fred Hoiberg says he's not leaving for Ohio State, Dave.
No, and I'm not sure that he ever was, even though his name came up among possible candidates. There's always going to be a list circulating when a high-profile job comes open like that one did, and his name was thrown out there. Sometimes I think people look at connections, and the athletic director at Ohio State was the AD at Iowa State when Hoiberg was there as a player. And, of course, he coached there later. And so I think people were trying to connect the dots. But he's going to come back and coach the Bulls again.
I was actually excited yesterday when I heard this story. Now I'm disappointed. Thanks, Jay.
Okay.
NBA Finals last night. Golden State 1-1 away from the NBA Championship. They won 118-113. I watched probably until the third quarter. Then I fell asleep last night. They just can't compete. LeBron, I know he's one of the greatest players in the world, but Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, it's just too much.
Jimmy Kimmel, did you watch him before the game last night?
I did, yes, and what with Will Ferrell.
He had a great, he said, yeah, it just doesn't seem fair. Golden State gets 3 points for every basket, and Cleveland's only getting two.
That's just about right. And the CMT Awards, congratulations to Keith Urban, picked up 4 honors, including Video of the Year for Blue Ain't Your Color. How many people watched? Let's see, a show of hands.
I would have watched if it weren't up against the Cubs in the NBA Finals.
Okay, Mary and Mike watched. Did they? All right.
She did. She says she did.
Not Mary. No. Oh. Sandberg. Not Mary. Not you, Mary.
Sorry.
You're not watching the CMT Awards. You don't have time for that.
No, not CMT, no.
The 6 at 6 brought to you by our good friends at American Weathermakers, Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. And we will do caller number 7 right now at caller number 6. I'm sorry, 6 at 6. See how that works out. Yeah. Way to go,
y'all,
Pete.
Y'all, look at that.
What to see, what's out at the show. I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on Gian's Cochran show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Before we,
I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Before we talk to Nick D, we got to go to the newsroom on 7. Steve, you have some breaking news?
We have some developing news. Yeah, Phil Collins, last night, the musician, fell in a hotel in London and apparently suffered a severe head injury. He's been taken to a hospital there. His website says that he suffered a severe gash to his head above his eye and that he's going to be kept in the hospital. He apparently had a little bit of surgery and stitches, but he is in stable condition, but is going to be in the hospital for a while and canceling his concerts. Phil Collins this morning falling in a hotel in London.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Yep. Let's go to Nick D. Nick, how are you, buddy?
All right, man.
You're a little shaken with the Phil Collins news.
Yeah, well, I guess I am. Yeah, I'd say I'm, it's always nice to follow that.
When I first heard about The Mummy, I thought it was a remake of the Brendan Fraser movies. This is not, right?
No, it's not. It's Universal Studios is trying to reboot the entire classic Universal Monster movies. They're creating a whole universe because there's now a Marvel universe, there's a DC universe. And so they're trying to create the Universal Monster universe that you know was so huge in the 30s, 40s, and 50s for Universal with Frankenstein and the Wolfman, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Dracula, and all that. So they're rebooting all of them, and this is the first one in that series. So it's not related to the Brendan Fraser movies at all, and in fact, it's completely different in terms of what the style and the tone is, because the Brendan Fraser movies were. They were just popcorn, sort of funny
right.
adventure movies. This one is sort of kind of a straight up attempt at horror. And Tom Cruise plays this guy. He's a soldier of fortune. He disturbs the grave of this ancient female queen from Egypt, who is a mummy, and unleashes her curse onto London, and destroys everything. And Russell Crowe is in it, and Sophia Boutella plays the mummy. In it, and she was really great last summer in Star Trek Beyond. I don't know how she's—I haven't seen this movie yet—but she was really, really great in that, and a great physical actress, and really very alluring. The buzz on this movie is bad, very bad, and Tom Cruise has been doing every piece of publicity that you can possibly do in order to get people to come out to see it. But everything I've heard about it is very negative.
Do you like Tom Cruise as an actor?
I do. I love Tom Cruise. He's in my two favorite movies of all time. My top two movies of all time star him. He's in Magnolia, which is my favorite movie of all time. My second favorite movie of all time is Risky Business, and he's in both of them. So,
well, I think he gets a bad rap. First of all, people see Tom Cruise. Oh, I don't know if I like him. I think he's a great actor.
Well, he's a terrific actor, and you know the people have a hard time. You know, taking his personal stuff, you know, and separating it from what he does on the screen. You know, a lot of people think the whole Scientology thing is really weird, and you know, and that's legit. You know, people still, and this was 12 years ago, still think it's, you know, it's weird that he jumped up on top of a couch on Oprah's show. The whole Katie Holmes thing is weird. I always thought that the whole people getting in an uproar over jumping up and down on a couch on Oprah's show was weird because that kind of behavior is normal on that stupid show. If you just look at how the crowd reacts to getting, you know, a blow dryer,
yep.
that you know, so his behavior on the Oprah show was normal for the Oprah show. So
that is so true.
But you know, like his last big movie was the Jack Reacher sequel, and it tanked, and everybody's, you know, everybody is thinking that this is going to be a massive bomb. I like the guy, and I'm going to see it Friday, and I hope it's good.
I watched the trailer. I was engaged. It was the plane crash. I don't know if you saw that trailer, but I thought it was really good. Yeah. I'm like, wow, this looks like a fantastic movie.
It is. It's getting to the point, though, where Tom Cruise, almost every movie, they have to have him hanging on the side of a plane. That seems to be a thing that he does in every movie.
Yep.
So.
And what about Russell Crowe? I watch the trailer, and I look at Russell Crowe, and I think, this guy needs to quit eating cheeseburgers. He is so big now.
Yeah, he is. You know, and Russell Crowe, you know, you go back and forth on Russell Crowe because he's a terrific actor, but he's made some bad movies. The Les Miserables is still a complete embarrassment for anybody who's ever seen it. But he made a movie last year with Ryan Gosling called The Nice Guys, which was one of the most entertaining movies of last year. And if you've not seen it, it's great, and he's terrific in it. And I think this one obviously is like Russell Crowe going, all right, I think I need to do a big-budget movie. You know, it'll be a supporting role. He's basically the exposition guy. He comes out and explains what's happening to the audience. So.
And we have another scary movie that comes out this week. It Comes at Night is the name of it.
It Comes at Night. Yeah. Everything I've heard about this movie is that it's unbelievably terrifying. And this is the one that I'm most excited about for this weekend. It's about a family led by Joel Edgerton who are in this remote cabin and something evil is lurking in the woods and another family desperate for shelter joins them. And then the movie becomes about this paranoia about whether these families are doing terrible things to each other. And it builds and builds and builds to what is supposed to be a terrifying climax. And the director of this movie is a guy named Trey Edward Schultz, who made a movie last year called Krisha, which was an incredible film. And everything I've heard about this movie is that it is like one of the scariest movies of like the past 10 years. So horror is my favorite genre. So this is the one I'm most looking forward to this weekend.
Oh. Why do they always have to put someone in a cabin? Always.
Well, you know, that's the oldest, you know, that's one of the oldest things in the, have you ever seen the movie Cabin in the Woods? About 5 years ago.
I have not.
I don't think I've seen
Cabin in the
one.
Woods. Cabin in the Woods is a great movie. It takes all of those cliches from horror movies and kind of turns them on their ear. Joss Whedon was the creative guy behind it, who we all know from Buffy and from the Avengers movies. And it's a movie that didn't make a lot of money, but it's one of the most clever and meta horror movies of maybe the past 20 years. And that's called Cabin in the Woods. So that's a great one too. But yeah, this is like a serious, really dark, really scary movie. It comes at night. So
you can only enter the house through the red door.
Right.
Remember that.
Not the yellow one, the red door.
Right. And of course, I didn't open it. Who opened it? Did you open it?
Yeah.
It's always a question.
I mean, when you watch the trailer and you're spooked out, it's like, I don't need to see this movie. It's too scary for me.
I'm all over it, man.
Nick D. Nick, good to talk to you, man. Thanks.
Okay, buddy.
All right. It's 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I have no dealings with Russia. I have no deals in Russia.
And, you know, you can talk all you want about Russia, which was all a, you know, fake news.
I own nothing in Russia. I have no loans in Russia. I don't have any deals in Russia.
I have no investments in Russia, none whatsoever. I don't have property in Russia.
But they always blame Russia. And the reason they blame Russia, because they think they're trying to tarnish me with Russia.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran today. Fired FBI Director James Comey testifies at 9 a.m. We will carry that live on the phone with us. He's the host of MTP Daily and Sunday's Meet the Press. It is Chuck Todd. Chuck, you saw the statement yesterday. I saw the statement yesterday. What are we going to learn today that we don't know already?
Oh, I think there's quite a bit we're going to learn. I mean, first of all, you got to know the history of James Comey. You know, he's not going to put everything he has out there He has a bit of a flair for the dramatic, which is what's made him both a held in high esteem and, frankly, also a punching bag for some, right? You know, some that are that fall into his crosshairs believe he's a grandstander. Those that have worked for him and loyal believe, you know, he is extraordinarily good at making sense of stuff. So, look, to me, there's one immediate question that jumps to mind just when you read, you know, James Comey makes it clear that he had 9 one-on-one interactions with President Trump. He chronicled 6 of them. 3 he did not mention at all. Did he not mention them because he is looking forward to being asked about them? Did he not mention them because he thought they were insignificant? So it seems as if since this memo included points where he said, well, this was not that significant or was done in passing, it seems to me, and who knows? I mean, at this point, we'll find out all together. I think he's holding back some stuff that he's waiting to answer via questioning. So I don't assume we know everything.
Well, I know James Comey was uncomfortable around the president. Do you think he was intimidated by the president?
Huh. No, I think that he worried that the president was too cavalier about these different separations and these norms. And which is, of course, which is actually what I think New Jersey Governor Chris Christie was implying when he said, oh, when the president said to Comey, you know, can't you lay off him? He called it, I guess, New York City talk. And I think there is something to this idea that, yes, the president doesn't understand the seriousness of crossing some of these ethical lines. That said, I do think I don't think it was intimidation that Comey felt. I think he felt he was going to be put in a no-win situation. So I think it's a different form of intimidation. It certainly is not physical.
Chuck, it's interesting. Yeah, and we knew that they were going to release the Comey statement, so we have a little read-along material today while we hear his statement. Mm-hmm. But what I'm, and I'm sure you too are looking forward to, is the Q&A. So what do you expect that we haven't already seen that is going to come out of this Q&A that could potentially be the bombshell or the smoking gun?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is on page 7 of the statement, depending on how you print it out. But
right, 7 of 7, yeah.
But it's at the end there, yeah, where he refers to satellite associates, where he quotes the president saying, essentially, whereas the president is saying, can't you make it clear that I'm not, you know, I'm not a part of this? And but then he seems to acknowledge the potential that associates of his might have been involved. And the fact that the president introduced that, and even that word, satellite associate, I am curious, okay, that to me should have been a red flag if you're Director Comey. Did he immediately take that to the investigators? You know, as you know, Director Comey isn't the one that leads the actual investigation. He was heading the FBI. Did he take that immediately to investigators? Did that launch a new phase of the investigation? Was this an aspect? You know, there, that word, satellite, you know, and that in the phrase satellite associates, that could take up an hour of questioning all by itself.
We're talking with Chuck Todd. Chuck, when I saw you last night on Nightly News with Lester Holt, and you brought up that statement, satellite, I thought to myself, he's covering something. I feel like there is something there that he's covering up, or he's setting the stage for some satellite associates to take the fall for him. Mm-hmm. That was my first reaction.
Look, it's been a running theory of the investigation, according to my reporting and some sources, that one of the plausible theories, and that's the thing, when you're doing investigating, you're looking for the facts, you go where they may, but you also you have working theories as you're going. And one of them is the idea that Trump would have been left out of the loop, you know, and, you know, there were enough. I mean, look, Roger Stone was fired by Trump, supposedly, but was, you know, but certainly was working on his behalf as an unpaid surrogate. What, you know, could, is that what he's referring to as satellite? I mean, that's a part of this we don't know, but this has been a theory that, do you think, you know, and in fact, I had somebody say this to me, you know, odd defense of Trump. They said, don't you think he couldn't have kept his mouth shut? That he wouldn't have been able to hold it in if he was getting super secret help? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, knowing, I mean, look, he couldn't even keep the fig leaf of the idea that the firing of Comey was about Russia. He basically spilled the beans thanks to a question from Lester Holt.
Right.
So, I have always thought it was extraordinarily plausible that he would be left out of the loop. Hey, don't tell the old man. You never know when he might blurt it out, you know. and people protecting him, wanting to give him plausible deniability. So I don't think the president should sit here and be pleased that this opening statement reinforces the reassurance that he got, that he's not a target. That's never been the issue. It's always been whether anybody associated with his campaign colluded. Right. And even now the president of the United States, if you believe James Comey, is open to the idea that it might have happened. That's a huge development.
What are your thoughts on the president tweeting his announcement for FBI director yesterday? There was no ceremony in the Rose Garden. He just sent out a tweet. And I think the law is his staff. Some of his staff were surprised.
I think this was I think we'll find out in a couple weeks or maybe even a couple days why it went down this way. But I can tell you the way that White House has been operating of late, the staff has desperately been trying to rein the president in, make him follow a schedule. And I think this was one of those cases where they told him, don't announce it now. And he said, I want to announce it now. And he did it. And he did it with probably in defiance. I think we're going to find out he probably did it in defiance. Not that Ray was going to be the guy, but just of the timing of the announcement. And I think this was just vintage Trump essentially not listening to his staff.
So, mm-hmm. Chuck, over or under on when Trump's first tweet responding to the Comey testimony will be? Maybe like 1, 2 o'clock?
I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
I think he waits till tonight. I think he waits till he watches all the evening news. And then I think we have one of those 8 o'clock tweet storms.
Okay, we'll go 8 o'clock.
I put me down for 8 p.m.
Okay,
or later.
Perfect, I get you down.
Chuck Todd will be all over NBC today. You and Lester watch this together. How does that work? Because you'll be on the nightly news tonight.
Lester's coming down here. Savannah, it'll be Lester, Savannah, myself leading our coverage, starting at 9 Chicago time.
Awesome.
So get your popcorn, get your Bloody Mary, whatever it is that you want to do, and follow along for the ride. We're happy to be your tour guide.
Print up your scorecards.
And Chuck, one last question. Exactly. You're on Steve's show every single week at this time. Do we have your loyalty?
Yeah, my honesty.
I love you, Chuck. I'll be watching Sunday. I'll be watching today. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. So, all right. Talk soon. Appreciate
all right. Take
it.
Care. Chuck Todd. Oh,
that's great.
I love
He's
Chuck.
He's saying 8 p.m. I think it's going to be way before that. Don't you? A Trump tweet?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I'm saying 1, 2 o'clock.
I say noon, lunchtime.
Oh, you're saying noon.
Absolutely.
All right. What do you got in it?
First Dave?
I'm going to stick with Chuck Todd on this.
He's going late.
I'm going 8 o'clock.
Okay. I don't think he can stay silent.
The Steve Cochran Show.
He's a showboat. He's a grandstander. The FBI has been in turmoil. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. You take a look at the FBI a year ago. It was in virtual turmoil less than a year ago. It hasn't recovered from that.
Monday, you met with the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein.
Right.
Did you ask for a recommendation?
What I did is I was going to fire Comey. My decision. It was not.
You had made the decision before they came in.
I was going to fire Comey.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Fired FBI Director James Comey. Hearings live right here on 720 WGN starting at 9 a.m. Yesterday in the Chicago Tribune, there was an article written by Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. Yes!
Very good.
Thank you. I got his last name.
He'll tell you. Just call me Raja.
He explained why it's important to investigate Russian interference in last November's elections, and he joins us now. Congressman Raja, how are you, sir? I nailed your last name.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, what did you think of the hearings yesterday?
Well, I think that they obviously were a prelude to the main event today. You may already know this, but there's a little bit of a circus atmosphere here surrounding the Comey hearing. Local bars are actually offering drink specials, depending on how and when Trump tweets, the president tweets about Comey's testimony.
What time do you think that's going to happen? The over-under is what time here at WGN?
Well, Chuck Todd thinks later, 8 p.m. You went with noon.
I say noon, lunchtime.
I said between 1 and 2. So I guess sometime between noon and 8 is our bar right now.
Okay. What do you think?
I think that It'll be very interesting to see if the president can contain himself if he does intend to tweet today. I think that Mr. Comey is probably going to start delving into the details of his conversations with the president very early on in his testimony, and we'll see if the president can resist.
Congressman, loved your article yesterday in the Tribune. You clearly state that this is a bipartisan undertaking because Republicans, Democrats, we all want to find out what happened with the elections.
That's right. I think that fortunately, Senator Richard Burr, as well as Senator Warner, have tried to conduct the Senate Intelligence Committee hearings in a bipartisan spirit. And you do have folks like John McCain and Senator Collins and others on the Republican side who appear to be displaying some independence. And of course, you have folks on the Democratic side who are, trying to pursue facts wherever they go.
Well, we all agree that we need changes in our laws, but what would you introduce as a congressman?
You mean with regard to this particular...
With safeguards against foreign intervention in elections?
That's a very good question. I think that, part of the reason why we're having these hearings is to determine, what are the holes in our intelligence apparatus and election machinery and laws. You probably already saw this news, but the Russians actually attempted to interfere with the election, the actual voting machinery. And they tried to hack into the databases of the Illinois State Board of Elections. I think that it's only appropriate that we find out, what are the protections on our databases in Illinois and elsewhere, and ensure that, we have the requisite resources and rules and regulations to ensure that they're not tampered with either physically or through cyber attacks.
Right. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Where are you going to be watching the hearings today?
probably from my office. I think that a lot of folks in Washington are going to be glued to their TV sets this morning. And I think from the get-go, there are going to be some very important questions being asked of Director Comey.
Congressman Raja, if you want to check out his article yesterday in yesterday's Chicago Tribune, just go to chicagotribune.com. Congressman, great to talk to you again. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. It's 2 minutes before 7. It's 7:20 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Seven:10. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. In studio with us, attorney Karen Conti. You can get a hold of Karen, K. Conti with a C, at kcontilaw.com, 312-332-7800. This is really a treat to have you in studio again.
It's such a pleasure to see everybody in the light of day.
We have a lot to talk about today.
We do.
The Comey hearings, Bill Cosby on trial, that Massachusetts woman being charged with manslaughter. A lot in the news.
Yes.
But first, I need to talk to you about something that happened to me. I went in for my global pass. Does anyone have the global pass here where you make an appointment and you go to O'Hare Airport?
Yes,
I do. The TSA pre-check, but
well,
not
I
the
have
global
both.
Entry. You have
yeah.
both.
Global
yeah.
gives you a little bit more, a few more rights.
I'm going to Ireland in August, so yes. I wanted the global pass.
Sure.
So
if you have the global, does that cover TSA too?
Yes.
It does.
It does.
It does.
Okay. Yes.
And some
countries
and some airlines honor it, some don't, but it's nice to have.
And so you went through the process where they ask you the questions if you've ever been arrested.
Yes.
And she asked me the question, the officer, and I said, which time? And we both laughed. And I said, well, there was a few incidents when I was in high school.
No.
And there was one when... back in 1986, and she said, no, it was 1987, April 4th, where I was arrested for speeding, eluding, and not having a driver's license.
Okay.
In DeKalb, Illinois.
Did they cuff you? I mean, were you literally arrested?
Yes, I was thrown in jail.
Okay.
We were leaving a bar. I was in a car. My buddy was in a car, and we were going to an apartment, and we were racing, which was stupid at the time. You do dumb things when you're young.
Sure.
But there was no ruling on the sheet. So she said, are you a felon? And I said, absolutely not. And she said, well, there's no ruling, so you're going to have to go to the DeKalb County Circuit Clerk, get that information and send it back to us. You have 30 days to do it.
Interesting.
So I've contacted the DeKalb County Circuit Clerk. It's taken a few days. I've had to call a few times and email, and they have my information. So I'm waiting.
Yeah.
So what's the best process with that?
Well, you know, what's interesting is even if you have charges that were dropped, or even if you actually got those charges expunged, the government, when they do these kinds of checks, can find them. So even
by the way, I thought this was expunged off my record in the mid-90s.
Well, it could have been.
And she said that. She said the federal government can see everything.
Yes. And they can do this for purposes of handguns. They can do it for purposes if you get convicted of another crime. If they want to sentence you, they can look at those types of charges and what happened. The other thing that you should know is if you do have them expunged, you can honestly say on an employment application, no, I was not arrested, and no, I have no conviction. Because expungement is supposed to literally wipe it away, as if it never happened.
Right.
But for purposes of these security issues, or sometimes when you're applying for a job where there's security issues, like you're a security guard or even being a nurse, and sometimes even being a lawyer, they will go back and look at those even expunged criminal charges. So you're never quite rid of those charges, whether you think so or not.
It's crazy. 30 years later, here we are, haunting me.
Yeah.
You got to talk to your kids.
No, you do have to talk to your kids.
You do.
Because these things will stick around with you. And,
yes.
And in this day and age, when this information is so readily available, it can really harm you long term.
All right. Let's talk about the Comey hearings today.
Great.
They're looking for answers, but they're also looking for an obstruction of justice. Do you see anything?
Yeah, I see a lot of it. But, you know, the two questions are, is there obstruction of justice and will he be charged? I don't think he will be charged. I think you're not going to have a charge against a sitting president. I just don't see that happening. But yes, I do. I mean, the definition in this term is corruptly to endeavor to influence, obstruct, or otherwise impede an investigation. So if you look at the pieces here, and, you know, he tells everyone, get out of the room. I want to talk to the FBI director. He says, I want you to see your way to drop these this investigation. He asked Comey to pledge his loyalty on another occasion. After he fires the FBI director, he talks to Lester Holden. He says, yeah, I did it because of this made-up Russia thing. I mean, he is basically paving the way to say, I did this in order to exert my influence as the leader of the free world on somebody who's actively investigating a bunch of things. That's obstruction of justice, in my view. Now, the question is, like I said, will there be charges? And I doubt there will be.
Will Comey's notes, Karen, be admissible? Like, if we're sitting here and
great
or
question.
Say you and I are in a room, you're not an attorney, and I'm taking notes, and Comey has a lot of these notes that he took. Are those admissible?
Yes. And first of all, FBI agents are the best note takers in the world. That's what they do. They investigate people, they listen to testimony, and they take notes that are contemporaneous, and then they write them up afterwards. So he's going to have some great notes. But in an investigation, this is not a real trial. This is an investigation. So everything's admissible. Okay, hearsay is admissible because all this is hearsay.
It's
what
all
did
hearsay.
Trump say is right. hearsay. But that in an investigation, they want to find the truth. And, you know, as we know, in a court process, there are different rules that filter out some of the information so the jury doesn't get prejudiced. But no, everything's fair game.
Well, just hearing the conversation when they were at dinner and Trump said, I need your loyalty. And there was crickets. Comey just stared at him. I mean, we all have that visual. It's just ridiculous.
Well, and Trump it would defend himself probably if he had the right advisors next to him, would say, you know, oh, you know, listen, I'm a businessman. This is what I do. I talk about loyalty. I guess I'm a little out of my I didn't take the road test here. You know, I didn't know how to do this. And maybe I overstepped by saying that. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. But again, you know, that you are trying to influence an investigation, and that's a crime.
Okay, so if our company, say, did something like this, if they said, well, will you defy me? And I said, well, yes, as an attorney, I would. And then they fire you. I would have legal action against the company. Could he take any sort of legal action? And not that he's going to want his job back, but could he go that route?
Could
Trump be in trouble, basically, for firing Comey? I mean, Comey worked for him. And if Comey's saying, I'm not going to be loyal to you.
Right. I think the bigger picture is there's an active investigation and there are issues relating to Trump. Not that he's the focus, not that he's the target, but his son-in-law is involved in some things. There's Russian issues. So, I mean, he...
Everywhere.
You know, you... And that's the other example that I like to give is you can fire. I mean, he obviously could fire the FBI director. They do it all the time. That's right. Generally what they do. They fire all the big heads of offices before, you know, when they come in. But you can't do it for an improper reason. And if the improper reason is you're in the middle of an investigation, I've told you to be loyal, you wouldn't pledge your loyalty, get out of the room, I'm going to talk to you. Those are that he is setting himself up for a textbook case of obstruction of justice.
Attorney Karen Conti in studio, kconti at kcontilaw.com, 312-332-7800. Bill Cosby on trial and the Massachusetts woman charged with manslaughter for allegedly encouraging her boyfriend through text messages to kill himself. We'll discuss those in a second. Let's take a look at traffic. Here's Mary. WGN 722. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran today and tomorrow. Steve is back on Monday. Went to New York to pick up his brother Mickey and bring him back. Karen Conti, attorney Karen Conti, in studio with us. We talked about the Comey hearings today. Bill Cosby is on trial. And I want to say, is it cross-examination right now on the woman that's charging him?
Yeah, I believe that's where we are on it.
Okay. Is it a monetary case? Is she suing for money?
No. This is a criminal prosecution. This is the woman who actually settled with him many years back. She tried to get it prosecuted. They wouldn't do it, so she brought civil charges and they settled. So now, after all these years, the new prosecutor, probably knowing about all the other cases and all the other women out there making accusations, said, I'm going to prosecute this case, even though it's been over 10 years.
How can they do that if it's been over 10 years?
Well, the statute of limitations have been expanded in these cases. I think a lot of the reason due to the priest abuse cases, many states have actually made them like no statute of limitations at all. They just so happen to have a very long statute of limitations in Pennsylvania, and that's why they brought the case.
The jury has two African-Americans, 5 women, 7 men. Is this a good makeup?
I think if I were a prosecutor, I would want more women. I just feel like that would be that my target audience. Although I don't know if race really matters in this case. You know, Bill Cosby is obviously a celebrity. I don't know about race if that's going to be something that is important. But I think having more women on the jury would be better.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think with a case like this, and that's what you would look at too. I know it's probably hard during the voir dire to try and select every single person that you want,
and you can't exclude people based on gender. Actually,
right?
That's unconstitutional. So you have to have a good reason to excuse someone. You can't just base it on race or gender. So
is it hard to walk that line?
It's hard to walk that line. But you know, this is an interesting case because there's so many good facts in favor of the prosecution. The fact that there have been so many women in the jurors, even though they can't really use that in their determination. They're going to be told to ignore whatever they heard before. They're going to know. They will have heard that. I mean, unless they were sleeping somewhere for the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. And this woman, I mean, he admitted in a deposition that he did have sexual contact with her. He admitted he gave her tranquilizers. And the only thing he's not admitting is that she didn't consent. Well, she's a lesbian. You know, she says going to say, and she did say, I would never have consented. I don't like men. So that's a good fact. But the fact that, you know, she waited a long time to bring this to the authorities' attention, I think a lot of people say it's he said, she said. Why did she go to the house? She had some issues with him before where he tried to make a move on her. Why would you go back? So all of those things get brought up in a rape case. I think it shouldn't, but it should be what happened at that moment. Was there consent? It doesn't matter why you were there. But that's what people think.
Bill Cosby will not testify, right?
He said he's not going to.
Okay.
And I doubt he will.
How about this case in Massachusetts?
Interesting.
Just crazy. And she has no jury. Is that right? She asked for a judge?
Right.
No jury trial?
Yeah. And this woman is being accused of involuntary manslaughter for basically inducing or coercing her boyfriend or friend to commit suicide. Now, interestingly, most states, including Illinois, we have specific laws that say you cannot coerce or induce by psychological actions, words, you know, physical, cannot induce someone to commit suicide. It's an actual crime. Massachusetts doesn't have a crime like that, interestingly. So they went the route of saying this is involuntary manslaughter, which is usually like a car accident where you're drunk and you hit somebody or you do something very recklessly. It usually involves a physical action. She was, you know, not there. She was on her cell phone. She was on her computer. And this is basically a virtual involuntary manslaughter.
They were texting each other.
They were texting.
The facts, he was in a truck and the carbon monoxide And he got out of the truck at one point, and she told him to get back in.
I mean, it's horrible. I mean, if you look, and this is all recorded. So, I mean, it's even worse because she can't deny she did this.
Yep.
This is all right there. And so that's, I think, why they picked a judge, because a jury would take one look at this and say, this woman's a horror show.
Right.
You know, this woman's foul. I don't care how sick this kid was and how, you know, he had a predisposition to commit suicide. You don't do that. But a judge is going to take it more on a legal standpoint and say, does this rise to the level of a crime?
Right. Isn't it a huge case of hearsay too? Even though she is on, it could be misinterpreted or interpreted in different ways. Like, did she really mean it? Was she joking?
I don't know that there's any question from what I've seen. It's
get back in the truck.
I mean,
you need to kill yourself.
And so the question
these are text messages that they can read in court.
Yeah, and then she says later to her friends, you know, I'm trying to do this. I should have called the police. I could have done it, but I just made.
Oh, that's another thing. She never called the police or his parents.
Oh, yeah, right. And that's maybe not necessary under the law if you know someone's going to commit suicide. I don't think it's a crime not to call the police unless you're a parent or you have a relationship with somebody. But I think that that this is going to expand the law here. Even the fact that they brought the charges, that we're in a world of virtual everything. So you don't have to hit someone. You don't have to physically contact someone for there to be a murder charge or involuntary manslaughter. Now we can say this can be more coercive. You know, texting and bullying and all these things are very compelling to make people do certain things.
Could freedom of speech ever be a defense in a case like that?
Yeah, you know, not really, because, again, we all have free speech, but you can't do it to hurt somebody.
Right.
You know?
Which she did.
And if that was a cause, and they're, of course, going to say he was predisposed to commit suicide, he was heading that way, she just pushed him over the edge. But again, you know, this could be.
He could have stopped it himself. Yeah. I mean, that's her defense.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Interesting case.
Karen, great to see you.
Great to see you.
I love when you come in the studio.
All right. I could stay here until next week.
Karen Conti, if people want to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Thanks for coming in.
All right.
It's 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
Hey, 7:39, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We'll talk to Elise Glink in just a second. The Comey hearings start at 9 a.m. We will be carrying them live right here on 720 WGN. We'll all be listening and glued to a television. She talks finance, real estate, and consumer advice on her website, thinkglink.com. She's filling in the Wintrust Business Lunch for Steve Bertrand today and tomorrow. It's Elise Glink. How are you?
Hey, good, Pete. How are you?
Good. What's going on today? The House is voting on a bill that's going to affect all of us.
If they can pull themselves away from their television sets, that is, right?
Well, that's
we'll all be watching.
That was
Comey.
My question. Are they going to be there to vote? Because everyone is watching James Comey today. That's why I'm so surprised by this.
Well, I think what they're hoping to do is, once again, when the attention of the world is diverted, they're going to put through something that absolutely won't help consumers, I don't think, but will help really big rich banks.
So what is it?
It's called the Financial Choice Act. This is another wonderful example of how to name things exactly what they aren't, but they sound really good, in my opinion. And what it does is it rolls back major portions of the Dodd-Frank Act of 2010 and significantly changes the way that banks are basically managed by the federal government. So this came out of Texas. Jeb Hensarling who's the representative of this part of Texas, and he's the Republican chairman of the House Financial Services Committee.
I just don't understand. So how is it going to affect me as a consumer with the banks?
Well, let's start with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So the CFPB, we've talked about it a lot. Trump has been trying to get rid of the CFPB. The Republicans have been trying to get rid of the CFPB since it was started. And this came, of course, out of the Great Recession. But it's run by Richard Cordray, and he's the former Democratic governor of Ohio. Excuse me. And what they're doing is they're just going to get rid of it, basically. They're going to turn it into something called the Consumer Law Enforcement Bureau. However, the legislation would basically kick Richard Cordray out, because right now he can only be removed for cause. It would strip the agency of its supervisory and examination authority, and it would also, and this is really where it affects consumers, remove the Bureau's authority to police unfair, deceptive, or abusive acts and practices. And, geez, if you're not doing that, why are you called the Consumer Law Enforcement Agency?
I don't really understand. So the CFPB, it helps us, right? Why do they want to get rid of it?
Why? Because it makes it a little bit less helpful for big business and big banks. Since 2012, the CFPB has returned almost $12 billion to 29 million consumers. Think about the Wells Fargo thing that just happened, where they were opening up millions of fake accounts for consumers who never authorized them
right.
in order to get their bonuses. So that went all the way up to the top, basically. And the CFPB came in, and they're the ones who investigated, and they imposed $600 million of civil penalties, not just on that case, but since 2011. And so they're one of the very few places in the government that's self-funding. They fine companies, and they use that money to run the Bureau.
So, Elise, if they limit the CFPB's enforcement, can our Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, or attorneys general across the state substitute those laws, you know, for something better, so to ensure that we are protected as consumers?
Well, they can try. You know, Lisa Madigan's done some wonderful things in this state, and I've known her for a very long time, and I think if she can do something, she will. But we're talking about the difference between a state attorney general and a federal agency that's mandated to do this across the entire spectrum. But this Financial Choice Act goes beyond the CFPB. It also gets rid of the Dodd-Frank Orderly Liquidation Authority, and that allows regulators to have a process for winding down large financial institutions in distress, and it's going to replace that with a new chapter of the Bankruptcy Code. It's also going to get rid of the Financial Stability Oversight Council and remove their ability to designate large non-banking financial institutions as systemically important. So this is part of the too-big-to-fail thing.
Wow. I mean, I understand some of this, but it's kind of going over my head. I mean, I just don't understand why they would get rid of this. It hurts us, and it only helps the big banks.
Right, but who contributes to the pot? You know, who's
right.
making these big donations?
Right, I get it.
This all goes back to money. You know, there's even something else that's even less understandable, which is they're also in this rule. They're getting rid of the Volcker rule. So the Volcker rule is.
Elise? Do we lose her? I think we lost her.
Bid sell.
Okay. Here, try to get her back.
But isn't she great? Because literally so much of this is over your head, and you don't realize, not your head, but our heads, and you don't realize it's happening.
Right.
But it is, and it will affect you as a consumer.
And it's going to get voted on today when we're not paying attention.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Elise Glink on the phone with us. ThinkGlink.com is her website. She's filling in the Wintrust Business Lunch today for Steve Bertrand today and tomorrow. This segment is brought to you by Grandview Homes. Elise, we were talking about the Financial Choice Act, how it just doesn't seem like it's going to benefit any consumers, only the big banks. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's probably the way this is all going to play out. The Volcker Rule, which is the Dodd-Frank provision that prevents banks from trading for their own gain and limits ownerships in hedge funds and private equity, that one's also getting thrown out. It's going to eliminate the Labor Department's fiduciary rule, which requires brokers, like, you know, stockbrokers, to act in the best interests of their clients when providing investment advice about retirement. So let me just say, that thing alone is going to make everybody crazy.
This is ridiculous. How can this get passed?
Now your head's spinning the other way.
Right.
This is going to get passed because everybody's going to be watching Comey.
Right.
Nobody's going to be paying attention. They're just going to push the red button to vote. I don't really, it's beyond comprehension. In fact, this one is so nuts that my understanding is most, if not all, investment houses like Fidelity and Charles Schwab and all the rest, they're going to follow the fiduciary rule anyway. But it's all this means is for consumers, it's more important for you to know what you're doing
mm-hmm.
and not rely on people who are doing things for you in the financial world and to always, always ask them how they get paid, how much they get paid. Don't feel rude. It's not rude to ask how much they're getting paid. Ask how they're getting paid, how much they're getting paid, and what happens to their pay if you do X, Y, and C that they are recommending to you.
I have absolutely no problem doing that because I'm giving them my money. Right. I want to know how they're getting paid. Absolutely.
Absolutely. But then doing this today, it's kind of like, you know, when they pass a big bulky bill, like an infrastructure bill, and then they bury in the very back, like money for a candy factory or something, you know, that you're not paying attention to.
Right.
Yeah, pork products. They're they're all embedded in here somewhere. I'm worried about this. They're also taking aim today through this Financial Choice Act at the Federal Reserve Bank. They don't like that the Federal Reserve is pretty independent, which was the way it was set up. It's the whole point to keep stability.
Right.
And this thing just chips away at it and chips away at it. And I, you know, all Republicans out there, like, hello, what, you know, what is going on with this party? Because this is the party that should want the Federal Reserve to be independent. They need the Federal Reserve to be, you know, the balance in check to what's going on in the economy to pull some of the levers. And if you start, you know, mucking around with the Federal Reserve and you take away its independence, that's problematic. And the Republicans are supposed to be the party that really focuses on sort of monetary policy this way.
This is why we have you on, so you can explain this to us in layman's terms. Elise Glink, you'll be in here today. What time do you show up?
Yeah, I'm going to show up there, about 11:15. Get ready for the show today. Wintrust Business Lunch, you've got a great show, and excited to do it the next 2 days while Stevie is over in, where is he this week? Iceland, I think.
Iceland. Look at that.
Yeah.
Elise,
good place to go.
We'll listen to you at lunch today. Thanks for coming on.
Sounds good, Pete. Take care.
She's the best.
She's fantastic.
I've heard her fill in for Steve. I've heard Steve have her in studio. She's fantastic.
She's excellent. Excellent.
She gets it.
And get her book, 100 Tips for First Time Homebuyer.
Really?
It was my Bible when I bought it.
Yeah. Was it really?
It was. It's fantastic.
What can I learn?
Run the dishwasher before you buy a new place.
Because
I'm not kidding you. Every time I see her, we joke about this, but it's so true. Things you wouldn't normally think of if you go, you're looking at a place, you know, before your inspector gets there or even, you know, during your
inspection. Nobody runs the dishwasher when they look at a house.
Right. You're absolutely right. I think that's okay. Like in chapter two, the place that I was considering purchasing, two of the appliances didn't work.
Really?
Yeah. And you don't think of it.
So run the appliances.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. Run them.
And check it. And check it for ants, too.
Check it for ants.
That's where those little tiny ants come in. They come through the dishwashers.
I don't know if that's in her book.
Well,
but
she,
definitely
she should
run
add
the
it,
dishwasher.
Just for a side note.
She just had a, that book was just republished as well. So it's awesome.
I have a question for you guys. By the way, Elise Glink was brought to you by Grandview Homes. I'm going to my first bar mitzvah. I've been to graduations. I've been to first communions. I've done everything. I've never been to a bar mitzvah.
Really?
Neither have I.
How much?
How much do you spend?
How much do you give the kid? How much?
See, that's...
How close are you to the kid?
It's a friend's son.
That's interesting.
Not a great friend that I'm hanging out with on a regular basis.
And if they're listening now, you're even less of a great friend.
But a good friend.
Yeah. Bar mitzvahs?
A good friend.
Do they not? I mean, those are like mini weddings.
They're
so extravagant.
It's enormous.
But I don't think you need to pay
$50.
You don't
50.
Is it comparable to a graduation?
Why?
Yeah, I would
wait.
Say
do you say 50 because that's too high or too low?
I bet comparable to a graduation.
What
graduation? High school
what
or
year?
Grammar school?
How old are they?
How much do you give for an eighth grade graduation? Because I've had these.
I'd say
year.
$50.
$50. How much for a high school?
100.
Okay, so how much for a bar mitzvah?
50.
That's not
I'd
enough.
Say somewhere.
I've asked
I'd
30
say you're too
people.
High. I'd say that's too high. It because if you
if
go
it's
to
a friend's son though, it's a good friend.
Yeah, it's gotta be a good friend. Because if you go to like 20 graduation parties for high school, and you can, you know, the amount of friends your kids have, I wouldn't. 50's too much because you'd be broke.
I think you got to do 50. Plus, it's a bar mitzvah, which is a little step above a graduation.
Are you
party?
Getting
plus,
good food?
Plus, it's a friend.
It's high end.
It's a friend. Yeah, I'd say go 50, Pete. Come on.
Two of my Jewish buddies. You know what they said?
What'd they say?
150 minimum.
What? No.
150 minimum.
For how old
you'll
is
look
it?
Like a piker.
10 or 11?
You're talking about 13-year-old kid.
13-year-old kid.
Okay.
That's he goes, if you don't give 150, don't show up.
No way. That's not, it's not a wedding.
I'm just telling you what they told me.
Oh, no, I'm just saying
one
to
one guy
to
told
them.
Me to give him 250.
What? No.
Yes.
Come
I
on.
Swear to you.
So then
were,
what do they give for high school and college?
If you were really close, it would be different. I mean, it all depends on your relationship.
What would you give then for a high? What would this person then give if they're going to do 250 for a bar mitzvah? What would they do for a high school and a college graduation? 500.
We didn't get into that. I don't know.
Just hope you don't get invited to that kid's graduation.
My nephew, I have two high school graduations this year, my nephew and my niece. $100
$100 That's right. What I would do as well.
Okay.
And probably for college, oh, geez, $150 $150
And anyone coming to my daughter's wedding next week, feel free to kick it up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Dave's going in the
I
hole.
I think I got to go $150 for the bar mitzvah.
For me, Mary.
Be safe.
Yeah, Dave.
You guys say $50? No way. I can't show up and give $50.
Well, then split the difference.
You
give $100.
Do 50.
Go $75.
You got to do well, gotta at be least $50.
Split the difference. Go $100. Then your friends can't say you were.
But you know what? Can I just say one thing? Spend the money based on your friendship and, you know, the person who's, you know, the person who's having the bar mitzvah.
$150.
Don't base it on. My biggest pet peeve is people are like, oh, you have to pay for your plate. You have to pay for the no. Just because you decide to have it at
708 area code
the
from
Fairmont
Mike.
Doesn't mean I have to pay for that.
Listen to this text. I'm 46 years old, and you're making me want to plan my own bar mitzvah. All right, Mike, we got you.
There you go.
7:57 It's 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
8:12, we will cover the James Comey hearings live right here at 720 WGN at 9 a.m. Let's bring in Dean Richards from Channel 9. Dean, how are you?
I think you have to ask yourself, do you want to hear about James Comey or Justin Bieber? Let's get our priorities straight, people.
Yes. Hey, seriously, what happened to Phil Collins? We had this story breaking earlier this morning.
Yeah, this is entertainment breaking news. Phil Collins is hospitalized this morning. He fell in his hotel room. Apparently, he had some back trouble, back surgery that doesn't allow him to walk exactly, normally. And he woke up in the middle of the night, had to use the restroom. And fell on a chair, gashed his head open, and was taken to a hospital in London. Had to have stitches. The gash apparently was right near his eye, so they're keeping him for observation. And he had to cancel his concerts that he had scheduled for tomorrow and Saturday in London. Those will be rescheduled there. But his people say that Phil sends his sincere apologies and thanks. He had a fantastic week of his first shows in 10 years. Cannot thank people enough for their warm reaction and is excited to return.
He's got an interesting story because, of course, Phil Collins on top of the world. Every time he released a song, it went to number one.
Studio.
I mean, everything. No Jacket Required, remember that album? Anybody?
And Sousa Studio.
Right? Inside Out, great tune. I was really looking forward to this tour. He had problems, started drinking, went into depression, had a divorce, and just dropped out of sight for 10 years.
He did. And I guess, do you know what drop foot is? Have you ever heard that?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. Either.
Dave, you know?
Yeah, I believe, it's basically... be tough to explain, but I think it's got to do sometimes people have back injuries or other spinal injuries. They basically they don't have the same range of motion with their foot. Does that describe it, Dean?
I think that's what it is. The statement that I have from his management just says that Phil suffers from drop foot as a result of a back operation that makes it difficult for him to walk. So I have to think that that's probably the case, that how you see some people who have back procedures.
Right.
And when they come out of it, they, until they're like fully healed, fully completely rehabilitated, some cases their normal range of motion and their normal walking doesn't come back. Apparently that was the case for him. So, you wake up in the middle of the night in, a strange hotel room. You don't know where everything is. I can see how it would be easy to fall. So they're keeping in the hospital for 24 hours for observation.
So if he's got a bad back and drop foot, I bet he can't play the drums anymore. Does he just sing?
I think so. I haven't seen him on drums in a long time.
Wow, yeah, that drop foot thing, your foot is like paralyzed almost, your muscles, and you can't lift the front part of your foot. hence drop foot. Yeah, it's like a paralysis type of thing.
Man, this is depressing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know a lot of people know this about me, but I am an orthopedic surgeon on the side.
Are you?
And drop.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you ever need any surgery, I'll be happy to.
I will call you. Yeah. You're my first call.
Dean and then WebMD. And
drop foot, as we all know, I just remembered from when I was in medical school, is a weakness, irritation, or damage to the common fibular nerve, including the sciatic nerve.
Oh.
And can cause paralysis of the muscles to the anterior portion of the lower leg.
God, that doesn't sound good.
That'll be $500.
Okay.
Turn your head and cough.
That's true. I always check that. Even though I am a podiatrist.
Right.
Even though I really only do foot surgery, I often check for hernias just for fun.
I do, too, on a daily basis. Coming up, we're going to talk CMT Awards, the Cosby Trial, of course, going on, Muddy Waters, and there's a Wonder Woman giveaway. Dean Richards from Channel 9.
This is exciting. This giveaway is exciting.
More with him in a second.
If you saw me wearing the tiara on TV today. But
let's check in with Mary's drop foot and traffic. Mary?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Top man, pro and steady. To the man, because he's always
821. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We're talking with Dean Richards from Channel 9. CMT Awards. Keith Urban, I think, is one of the most likable, ordinary guys out there.
Have you ever met him?
I've never met him, but I think I could be friends with him.
I do, too. He seems like nice down-to-earth person. I've never met him either, but I've interviewed his wife, Nicole Kidman, many, many, many times. And she's also very, very nice and down-to-earth. I can see why their marriage seems to be going really well. He was gushing like crazy about Nicole Kidman thanking her as he went on stage to accept 4 awards last night. Got more awards than anyone else, including the top award of the night, Best Video of the Year, for his song Blue Ain't Your Color. He also won Best Male Vocalist of the Year, among other awards. Carrie Underwood picked up 2 more awards last night. One of them, her duet with Keith Urban. She
really
broke a record last night. She now, these two adds to her total of CMT awards, 17 more than any other artist in CMT history. Little Big Town's Better Man took Best Group honors, and Florida Georgia Line's song took Best Duo honors of the year last night.
God, Carrie Underwood is just a star.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're amazing together. They're great together. They're great by themselves. One of the highlights of the show last night was a tribute that was done to Greg Allman to start the show. A beautiful version of the song Midnight Rider. Jason Aldean, Darius Rucker, and Charles Kelly from Lady Antebellum to kick off the performance last night. So,
damn, I got to find that online. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Really, it's a very lovely version of the song, and you know, you could tell their affection for Greg Allman.
The Cosby trial, cross-examination is going on right now.
Yeah, well, it started yesterday. The accuser in the trial, Andre Constand, had been on the stand a couple of days this week, and yesterday Cosby's attorneys got to cross-examine, and she just gave 1 or 2 word answers to the lawyers. They were asking her about her phone records and the allegations that she, the accuser, would call Bill Cosby up to 6 times a day, accepting gifts from him, accepting tickets to his shows. The Cosby attorney's trying to paint her as a woman who was enamored by Bill Cosby's celebrity status. So that was pretty much the highlight of it all yesterday. And there may be more cross-examination today. The trial will continue in suburban Philadelphia today.
60 women have come out over the years to accuse Bill Cosby, and I feel like this woman is becoming... she has to be on the defense now. with this trial.
They clearly had to know that was going to happen.
Right.
Clearly, you know, she's been prepped and ready to go. You know, the sign of a well-prepared witness on the stand, don't say too much. And, you know, these one- or two-word answers that she's been giving back is, you know, seems to be indicative of that.
Where is the Muddy Waters mural?
Muddy Waters mural is basically State and Washington. I don't know on which building it is, but State and Washington. This would be the southeast corner. It's a 9-story mural that's put up that honors the blues legend here in Chicago, and they're going to do an official dedication to it today because Blues Fest officially kicks off today in Grant Park. So they're going to do an official dedication today, and the Muddy Waters Legacy Band that includes a couple of Muddy Waters' sons and some former bandmates will be perform. I've been asked to come and perform for them because they, you know, they know what a blues performer that I am through the years. In addition to being podiatrist to the stars,
really, you're a blues performer too. On the side,
I have been known to blow a mean harmonica.
Wow,
yeah. So you know, we'll see if I'm able to make it down for that, or if security lets me anywhere near them. We'll find out. But the big dedication is going to be taking place today. It's a cool, really cool mural. It's been up for, I don't know, a couple of weeks, something like that.
I didn't know that. I'm going to have to drive past it.
You clearly don't get to the big old Navy store there as much as you should.
It's right there in the heart of it. There's so much traffic over there. That's the problem.
It's a busy intersection.
Well, you get caught in it, and then you can't turn, and then you have to wait like 4 lights. Okay. You know, come to think of it, I'm kind of busy today.
Okay, Grandpa.
I'll look it up online.
I don't want to worry for the lights.
I'm going to drive over to the Loop and just hang out.
Day.
Where's Ronnie's Steakhouse? Where do I get the $5 steak?
By the way, that Old Navy store is fantastic. I've been in there.
Where's Shopper's Corner? I need some pencil erasers.
It's wonderful. And what is the
Does anyone remember Shopper's Corner, or is that just me?
What is Shopper's Corner?
Andrea, do you remember
I'm
that?
I'm trying to think. Was that like a Woolworths? Boy, talk about dating.
Yeah, I guess.
Are we dating ourselves?
I guess sort of. It was right on the corner of State and Randolph. And it was just like you'd buy, they had stuff like pencil erasers.
It was like the dime store?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I guess it was a little bit like that.
Ben Franklin over there? Remember
Ben Franklin?
Sure.
Yeah.
Old school downtown store.
Woolworth.
Was right across the street. Shopper's Corner was, you know where the Walgreens is, right at State and Randolph right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
That big fancy Walgreens. Back in the day, they had, I think it was a Marlboro cigarette billboard on top of that building. It was Marlboro or Winston.
Okay.
But the cool part was that it was a picture of a guy smoking a cigarette, and like every couple of minutes, smoke would come
yes.
out of his mouth.
I've
right?
seen those.
Right. He'd like
yes.
tip his hat or like, you know, and then the smoke would come out.
And
I remember
like,
that.
Right.
The smoke would come out. You're like, wow, I want to smoke cigarettes too.
Wonder why those went away.
I know, right? Hmm. There was an old smoke shop in, was it Oakland or Evergreen Park, Dean? Remember that? And there was a Native American.
Oh, yeah.
With, and the smoke would come out, you know, of his
right.
peace pipe too.
Yeah. Hey, Mom, look, that's cool. Can I smoke too?
Do you have a peace pipe, Mom?
Well, back in college, but we don't do that anymore.
And what is the Wonder Woman giveaway?
So this morning on the WGN TV news, we have a fantastic exclusive giveaway that we are some cool stuff that we are given by Warner Brothers Pictures, an official Wonder Woman tiara. I know, Andrea.
Can I have it, Dean?
I know.
Please?
It's the giveaway. I can't give away the giveaway.
Dean, I know you have so many tiaras, though.
I normally have plenty of tiaras around. That I walk around with, but this is the only Wonder Woman tiara. Not only the official tiara, but an official golden lasso of truth.
Oh, that's so cool.
They're under glass cases.
Straight from Shopper's Corner
hey.
At Woolworth's.
No, these are...
Oh.
These are Andrea, right? You would love
yeah,
to have something
I,
like
completely.
This.
What, are you kidding me?
Right?
This is awesome. This
kidding
is
me?
Total movie memorabilia.
Right. I'm told that these are valued at $1,500.
What do you do with that if you win it? Seriously. Where do you put it?
Oh, I would buy. I would
put
I
it on your
cash,
mantle at home?
Yeah, I'd put it in my house. Put it on my dining room table.
Pride Parade's only a couple of weeks away.
Or wear it in the parade on our float.
That would look great.
Right.
Right. So anyway, if you want to enter to win these, we have a contest set up at WGNTV.com, WGNTV.com/contest. And you just enter your name. We're going to have a random drawing. Someone can win that. And it's only been worn. I wore the tiara just for a brief time this morning.
Of course you did.
And
oh, cool, Dean.
One of our,
gotta take a picture.
One of our, I have the picture on my Facebook page.
Oh, good. Okay.
I look sexy in it, too, by the way.
I bet you do.
I look sexy. And it was also worn by Lothar the Hairy Engineer. In our last segment. He has
nice.
Super long hair. He has like super, super long hair, and from the back it looked like a woman wearing a tiara.
Wow.
And then he turns around and it's a hairy guy, which we thought was funny.
That's nice.
Oh, you look
relate
great.
To that.
Dean, you're looking at it right
McMurray,
now.
Yes. The hairiest man in North America.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dean, I love the tiara on you, and you're even doing the Wonder Woman pose with
I'm
the
doing
bracelets.
The shields.
The
right?
The
I will share it on my Facebook page, Dean.
Me too.
Dean, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks, buddy. Dean Richards, WGN. It's 830, 720, WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Credit cards company's like, okay, you want to play with us? We'll play with you. Okay, the minimum payment now goes from 2% minimum payment to 4%.
Seems pretty upset.
Okay, so now you got a person that's barely hanging on, $20,000 to $30,000 with credit card debt at 2% is $400 to $600, right? It's manageable.
It's so angry.
Now you just, what do these morons do? They turn it into $800 to $1,200 a month. Who the hell can afford that?
Stop yelling at me.
This is so what do they have to do? They have to go out and take out another credit card to pay the credit cards off.
I promise you, I don't look for his fuse and light it. I really don't.
Take it easy, champ.
Maybe sit the next couple plays out. You know what I mean?
841, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in studio with us. You can find him at Pearl, P-E-R-L, David.com. It is David Hochberg who brought in Nutella. You went to the Nutella store down the street.
My brother is the manager of the Nutella store.
You got to explain it to me.
And I was reading your negative comments about the $17 Nutella toast bread, which is incorrect.
It's so good. You brought some. And
no, they were not negative comments.
No.
I was down here on Saturday and I took a picture. People were standing in line.
Out
actually, it was Sunday.
Yeah.
It was Sunday morning.
Crazy.
And we have a video on our website that you need to check out. Violetta and I put it up, WGNradio.com, yeah. Interviewing all the people who, not all, but many of the people who were standing in line since 5 in the morning. And we get to go inside and have a chocolate croissant with Nutella. It was out of this world.
You could say what you want about Nutella and how unhealthy it is.
Is it Nutella or Nutella?
Who cares? You could put it on a rock and eat a rock. And you'll lose a couple of teeth, but it will go down. It's so smooth, and it's probably not the best for you. And yes, 2 tablespoons is 200 calories. And yes,
it's like a melted candy bar.
It's delicious,
right?
It's
on toast.
I've got samples in the green room. Okay. I wanted to. You better tell before Grisanet starts blitzing down here because there won't be any left. But
he's already taken off. He's already coming down. He's running down.
And there's a gigantic tub of it outside that you could enjoy. Andrea's got a sample of the crepes and the.
The crepe
and the waffle
and the toast
on the corner of Michigan
and Lake.
on the southeast
corner, and we had
that's awesome. And then they have lunch and stuff too.
We had Sean McGuire, who's my summer intern. He's the son of one of my clients. Still don't know paying him what to do. What I don't know what the hell he's doing yet. But we're paying him healthily to be my summer intern. He had and my brother gave me a healthy fare. A turkey panini, and it was delicious.
Yeah, why didn't you bring that in? I see it on the menu.
Because we ate it.
You ate it on the way over.
No, we ate it in the green room because I wanted to at least get something healthy in and have a base before I ate it.
Let me get this straight. Your brother is the manager at Nutella, so you can go over there and get a great sandwich and a mortgage.
No, he can't get a mortgage. He used to be a mortgage professional.
Oh.
But he decided to go back into the restaurant business. So he could refer you to me, and then I could get you a mortgage after you enjoy your delicious Nutella delicacies.
When I found out that you were coming on the show, I know you have your agenda, but I want to talk about something because it hits me. I think about it every single time I pay my credit card bill because I pay it off every month.
And that's why you have 780, 90 credit scores and has always, and we've known each other for 12, 14 years, and you've always had great
longer
credit.
Than that.
Yeah.
Haven't we?
Yeah. Well,
2004?
I try to forget the earlier years, but 2004, about 14,
guess,
16
yeah.
years. Yeah, about 16
okay.
years. Yeah.
All right. Well, years ago, probably around 07 or 08, we had massive credit card debt. Yeah. My wife was the credit queen.
Yeah, she was great. She was very, very
I want to say, what
all-star. All-star quality.
30 grand in credit card debt?
If you want. Yeah, that's probably within the ballpark.
I'm thinking, there is no way we're going to dig out of this.
Yeah.
No way.
And then you came on and we became friends and you're like, what are you doing?
Right.
You have equity in your house. Pay off your credit cards and get your life on the straight and narrow.
Right. Recalibrate your debt is what I like to call it. It's okay. Just, you know, you've got, listen, you have eight, and such as you. The listener in Illinois is carrying over I think it's like $38,000 worth of credit card debt. And the average listener within this listening area of the four-state region is carrying at least $33,000 from Indiana, Wisconsin.
And we just pay the minimum because we need to pay other bills and right. We got other things to do. We got to send the kid to school and buy him clothes.
Well, Uncle Louie told you that it's great to have credit card debt because it's good for your credit report. I get that at least once a month. I'm like, well, your Uncle Louie, is not the most inept, financially. He might be good at other things, but giving you credit advice is not one of them. Carrying balances on your credit report is one of the worst things you could do, not only financially, but it also impacts your credit and it brings your credit scores down.
So if somebody's listening right now, they have $20,000-$30,000 in credit card debt. What can they do?
Start paying the credit cards down when you get paid. Okay. Well, number one, if you live in a home and you have equity in your home, you should definitely look to use the equity of your home to pay off your credit card debt.
Right.
Okay.
Start from
like
zero.
You did. Right. You're just recalibrating your debt. You know, do you have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 on your credit card, or $20,000, $40,000, added to your mortgage? Yeah, you're paying it over 30 years. All you good, goody two shoes out there. Yeah, you're paying it over 30 years. But bottom line is this: the number of people that are listening right now got wiped out in 07 and 08 due to the economic tsunami that wiped everybody out. And some of the people have come to the realization and have basically said, "I'm done with this. I want to get out of it," and have rearranged their financial portfolio, if you will, and stop
right.
buying stuff that they don't need, and
yep.
and started paying themselves back, and before they pay the credit cards back.
That was a wake up call for everybody.
It was a huge wake up call.
It's like, wait a second, I need some extra cash. Right. I got to pay off my credit cards, and what am I doing?
Right.
I don't need this stuff.
Well, here, the $30,000 worth of credit card debt's $1,200 a month payment. Okay, so think of it like that: $1,200 a month payment. That's the equivalent of a 200.
And we did that. Well, I can't believe it.
Yeah, yeah. And you did that for a long period of time until I came into your life, and others here at the station.
And
not the only one.
You held me and stroked my head and said, "Pay this off."
Right. I don't want to do this. I'm like, well, okay, then don't do it. And continue to be here. So you could either pay this, or you could save $1,400-$1,500 a month rolling it into a new mortgage, which you did. And you and your lovely, beautiful wife, who I still can't figure that out. I don't know what she's doing with
you. Well, look at me.
Right. That's why I asked the question. And, have trusted me and have come back 4 or 5 times. We kept refinancing.
Get rid of your credit cards.
You got to get rid of your credit card debt.
And you can help.
I can't help if you don't call. And I've helped a lot of people. And one simple tip I could give you is that when you get paid, pay down your credit card. Don't wait until the bill comes. Just start chipping away at the iceberg. Because you start impacting the balance, and then you stop paying, you start paying yourself back. There's less money in the bank account, and then you just got to, it's like losing weight. You just got to change what you're eating.
Right.
Credit card debt is the same thing. You just got to stop what you're charging.
What's your number that people can find you?
Real simple, 312-751-1333. You could also go to WGNDavid.com. All the contact information is there. We have a brand new website, easy to follow website, easy to navigate website. So we just launched it. All my loan officers are on there. So if you're working with somebody, you want to get their background information, it's all there.
There's a good-looking guy, Ross Cochran, I met a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've got a warped definition of good-looking. But, yeah, mm-hmm. Ross is on there. Yeah, we have different definitions. But he is definitely, his picture's on there.
He loves you.
He does a great job.
Yeah.
He's actually closing loans now. We just helped the WGN listener. We had a challenging reverse mortgage loan. We just got the clear to close yesterday. And we're going to get her to closing so she can pay off her home and save about $1,300-$1,400 a month in payments, which is great.
I'm going to take a look at traffic. We're going to talk about reverse mortgages. And you're one of those guys that if you do business with someone, you'll call them back and say, hey, you need to do this, this, and this. I mean, you're constantly sending me text messages and yelling at me. I know I'm different, but you call people back and say, it's time to refi. You can save some money.
Right. Let's go. And then,
people don't do that.
Not enough people do that, but that's what we do. We're just scouring our database. And I'll give you another perfect example. My sister is just sold a house. She's closing out her home next week on the sale. I've mentioned this a number of times on the air. When my nephew was a freshman at Deerfield High School, she got divorced, so we refinanced her into an adjustable rate mortgage, saved her about $400 a month. She knew that as soon as he walked down the aisle and got his diploma, she was selling the house. Guess what? May 1st, house went on the market. By May 30th, the house was sold. By June 15th, she'll be out of the house. And during that 3-year period of time, we saved her $4,800 a year.
Good for her.
On her mortgage payment, which she put back into the house to do minor renovations so she can maximize. She already had great credit, so you know, right. Some people would use that money to enhance their credit over that period of time. But she used that money to do minor renovations in the house, do a little painting, do a little cleanup, do a little clutter,
yep.
or decluttering. And she got top dollar for her house, and she's closing next week and moving on. So,
does she get free food at Nutella, too, from your brother?
If she, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Mary, time for traffic. David Hochberg's here.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, 8:53. So we'll go live with the Comey hearings coming up at 9 o'clock. David Hochberg in from Pearl Mortgage. Pearl, P-E-R-L, David.com is his website. Dave Bennett had a question for you.
Yeah, Dave.
I did. When you get your credit checked,
yeah,
does it affect your credit rating? That's the first part. And secondly, if you check your own credit rating, does that then somehow impact your credit rating?
That's a great question. So when you recreationally check your credit, like Andrea was asking me during the break as well, through the Credit Karmas and these online reporting agencies, it does not impact your credit as a hard hit. But when you go to buy a car or you go to apply for a credit card or when you go to apply for a mortgage, that's a hard inquiry, right? Somebody is out there. You are looking. David Hochberg, David Ennett, Andrea Darlis is looking for a loan, is looking for money. So that comes in as a hard inquiry. Well, why is that important? Because if you are out shopping and you open up 10 credit cards, okay, and the credit reporting agencies are looking at it like, oh, my God, what are they doing? How come they're looking to load up all this debt? And that negatively impacts your credit score. That's why I tell people when they go out, especially before you refinance or buy a home, okay, keep your hands in your pockets.
Don't do it.
Oh, like it happens all the time. You know, don't open anything, don't close anything, don't apply for anything. We got it. We got it. So right before the closing, we have to pull your credit. Boom, Gap card. Boom, Audi. Boom, you know, Chevy, Mercedes. You know, car payment, $400, $300, $800, $1,200. What the hell did you understand about? Don't apply for anything. Don't open anything. Wait till you close. Right?
Right.
I know.
Settle down.
I know.
Everything's okay.
How long do you have to wait before you check your credit then? So it doesn't give you a ding.
With professionally or recreationally?
Both.
Recreationally, you can do it anytime.
You can do it at any time. Listen, right. You got crazy people like you and all due respect who are like, how come my credit score dropped from 800 to 770? And I'm like, I got guys at 540.
I swear to God. Andrea just asked him that during commercials. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right. I've got people at 540. I'm trying to get up to 620 to buy a house. And you're like, I went down 10 points. I'm like,
we got 90 seconds left. You got to explain reverse mortgages. That's what you wanted to talk about.
Here, there was a story May 23rd, I believe, in the Tribune about this gentleman was doing unscrupulous things to elderly African-American people on the south side of Chicago, which is disgusting. Okay, and this guy has been taken into federal custody by the FBI and the Inspector General of the Housing and Urban Development. Basically, what this guy was doing, allegedly, according to this article, was misrepresenting himself as a mortgage professional and basically fleecing these poor elderly people. And he just happened to be going after African-American people. And what this piece of garbage was doing was hiring very attractive African-American women that would go into these neighborhoods as his front person and basically be his salespeople and get him in the door. And then he would basically just violate these elderly people in disgusting ways financially, where he would go in and impersonate that he was the person taking out the reverse mortgage in order to get the reverse mortgage certificate, because everybody needs to go through counseling. So he would dupe the system that way. He would go in and telling these elderly people that Chicago has a program to fix your back porch, which there was no program to fix the back porch after the back porches were falling off and killing kids on the north side, you know, that one summer. So this guy would go in and, you know, long story short, because I know we're up against the clock, he would basically say that he was going to do all of this work in the house, and the house needed all the work. And he would submit receipts to the lender that would say that the work was done. And he would get paid at the end when the reverse mortgage closed and never did the work that needed to be done.
Right.
So these poor elderly people were getting taken advantage of. So now what's happening is that there's now this huge black cloud over the reverse mortgage industry. And, they, you know, reverse mortgages are horrible. No, you have a scumbag who is in federal custody right now who was fleecing 122 elderly people. And it's disgusting what he did. And this program is perfectly fine if implemented by a trained professional like myself and my team. We're doing at least one of these a week. We're ramping up to do two reverse mortgages a week. It's a phenomenal tool within your financial portfolio if used effectively. But if you get these scumbag idiots like this guy juking the system, he's going to hurt you.
Pearl David, P-E-R-L, David.com, 312-751-1333. David Hochberg, thanks for coming in, man.
All right, there you go.
Good to see you. Settle down. It's 720 WGN.